coiled ropes. It was horrid. I strained to hear what was happening on deck above, and wished I had my hourglass to see how much time was passing. Finally, a thump against our hull told me the other boat had caught up to ours and was tying on. I waited, expecting sounds of fighting, but instead heard the low murmur of men talking. I unlatched the door to my closet and crept out. A fresh breeze flowed down the stairway, along with it a voice I recognized. Olympus. The boat's rocking made it impossible for me to run up the steps, so I clung to the railing and pulled myself up. I could see that our pilot had turned us into the wind so we could raft up to our visitors without sailing away. Since we were not moving forward, our ship bobbed in the tall swells, tipping far to the left, then far to the right. I struggled against dizziness. Oh, my heart took delight in seeing Olympus. He held on to a line, his feet spread to balance himself. His smile betrayed our friendship, but his words were solemn. "Princess Cleopatra," he read from a scroll, "your sister Tryphaena wishes you to know that because you and your father are fleeing to Rome, she is now queen and pharaoh.